south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came up to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
A lot of Canadians writing in lately, and I don't blame them for wanting to vote with their feet either. They got two strikes against them. That terribly oppressive Big Brother socialist state, and that miserable cold weather for more than half the year. Now, we've all heard of that so-called model Canadian national healthcare system. Some Canadians love it and some hate it. No one's without a strong opinion, that's for sure. So today, we're going to talk about some sad situations and catch-22s that Canadians are in. We're talking about Canadians with health problems that seem to be at the mercy of their healthcare system. So there are Canadians with healthcare problems that absolutely love living in Latin America, but soon find out they can't live in Latin America full-time. Because you see, as it turns out, if they live too many months outside of Canada, they get cut off from the national health. In other words, they have to remain Canadians for tax purposes in order to take advantage of the system, the one they've paid into dearly all these years. Now, you've heard the pros and cons of the Canadian national health system, but I'm sure you'd never heard stories like this, so here goes. I'll paraphrase this as usual to keep the train rolling. Oh, and let me add just one more thing before I get going here. All you expat wannabes and gonna-bes up in the States and in Canada who are taking a lot of horribly expensive medications that may or may not be paid by insurance or the National Health or Medicare or whatever, just remember, when you get down here to Latin America, almost all those drugs are available too, at quite a discount if they're generic. But if they're proprietary drugs, you know, you have to have something by, let's say, Glaxo, Abbott, or Burroughs Wellcome, then you're going to pay as much or more for those drugs down here than you'd pay up in Canada or the States. That is, if you were paying out of your own pocket. However, that said, nearly every gringo and expat I know that came down to Latin America with their little satchel full of prescription medications that they'd been taking year over year when up in the first world, it turns out in time, every last one of them has reduced his or her dependency on those prescription drugs. And the reason, of course, is there's much less stress. The weather is terrific. The food that you buy in the markets anyway, although it may not be labeled organic or certified non-GMO, you're getting it from the local truck farmers, and it's as good and fresh as you're going to get at usually a quarter to a fifth of what you pay up in the States for the same thing. So that said, all you expat gonna-bes and wannabes up there who are totally dependent on prescription medications for whatever chronic problem you have, please don't use that as an excuse to talk yourself out of becoming an expat in Latin America. That would be a shame, but as strange as it sounds, it seems like that's the case for many people up north. People think they won't be able to afford or buy the meds they have down here that they're using up north. Which leads us directly to this email. This one from Dave, a Canadian snowbird, not by choice. He wants to live in Latin America, but as you'll see, he can't do it full-time because he's caught between the usual bureaucratic rock and a hard place. Starts, "Dear Johnny, I have written this summary of my situation with the hope you could advise, guide, and help me in some way. I don't know what to do, nor what to ask or expect from you, but here goes. I subscribed to your podcast, and it hit me. Why not see if Johnny can offer any hope for me? I'm currently living here in Guadalajara as a temporary resident." Then he puts in parentheses, "a non-working temporary resident." And by the way, to clarify things here, when you get temporary residency in any Latin country, they don't let you work. Not work for the man anyway. Of course, you can have your own business and make all kinds of money if you want, but you just can't work for someone else. Not legally anyway, but you know, this is Latin America. And there are a million ways around anything, but you'll see that when you get down here. So you're not supposed to be able to legally work for the man, that is, as an employee, unless you have permanent residency. But you knew that already, right? And by the way, I'd say a good 95% of all gringos and expats who do work are their own bosses. They just don't work for the man. That's one of the reasons they came down here in the first place, but that's another story. Anyway, back to the email. "Believe it or not, Johnny, I've been coming back and forth to Guadalajara, Mexico from Canada for the last 15 years on the old FM3 visa until a new system started up. So far, I have always gone back home to Toronto every year. Now, what your listeners probably don't know is that if you're a Canadian citizen, in order for you to maintain your Canadian national health care, you must return to Canada for the mandatory 5 months a year to avoid losing it. My greatest concern, however, is I really want to stay in Mexico full time. Now, Johnny, my background story is not good nor happy, and maybe it's time to admit defeat, go back to Canada with my tail between my legs, and check into a long-term care facility. But believe me, Johnny, I'm not going without a fight. So here it goes. I had a tumor removed from my brain stem and spinal cord in 1980 and was left partially paralyzed and in terrible pain. I was 22 years old, and it was just 2 months after graduating the university when it hit me. Eventually, I got back to working, but after 9 years at Bell Canada, I began deteriorating and had to leave on long-term disability. I now live on about $3,000 Canadian a month, plus I get my Canadian healthcare coverage, my pills and medicines, for example. Now, along the way, I met a nurse slash caregiver, originally from Guadalajara, Mexico, and we've been together over 25 years now. We decided to begin the back and forth to Mexico because I'm extremely hypersensitive to the cold temperatures of Canada, and the cost of staying in the U.S. was way out of the question financially. She has both Canadian and Mexican citizenship. Her two daughters, ages 14 and 15, have also got both Canadian and Mexican citizenship. But my caregiver's husband is solely Mexican. So anyway, things do change, and now I find myself unable to physically tolerate the commute between the two countries, even twice a year. The last 2 years' flights back and forth have been nothing short of hell for me. Remember, I have to go back to Canada at least 5 months a year to maintain my national health care insurance. It's also no longer feasible for my caregiver to drop everything and go to Canada with me, especially not for 5 months. She has started a cafeteria slash catering business and is working now in Guadalajara. The saddest part is that my condition leaves me deteriorating and I spend much of my time now in bed. In other circumstances, I'd insist on someone being with me 24/7. Note, only because my caregiver knows me so well is it possible for me to be left alone at times, though never at night. It should be noted that she would be impossible to replace. That is not hyperbole. She is a trained healthcare worker, driver, cook, secretary, medication dispenser, and so on. Now, in Canada, it would require hiring several staff unless I'm sorely mistaken. I understand they all have their particular jobs, and if you don't designate them that way and follow the rules, it's against the law. By the way, I have paid into the IMSS, that's the National Mexican Healthcare System, for 3 years. Okay, I've got to say something. It's me again, Johnny. The Mexican national healthcare system, as well as the Honduran, Guatemala, Costa Rican, you name it, whatever Latin American national healthcare system is pure garbage. Their hospitals and clinics are medieval, unsanitary, stinky, occasionally without power, without water. But you know what they say, you get what you pay for. So anyway, forget about the national healthcare system in Latin America. So don't come down from the first world thinking you're going to get that free medical healthcare that everyone else has. You'll be sorry. The only way I'd ever recommend a gringo using that system is if you got in a terrible car accident right in front of a national healthcare emergency room. Under any other circumstances, make the ambulance driver or whoever take you to the nearest private hospital or clinic. But you knew that already, right? Anyway, Dave goes on to say, I found out in Canada there are so many rules about who can and cannot do what in healthcare procedures. I found out in my case that I have to literally become a business, pay salaries, vacation, overtime, taxes, hire one person for housework, one who is only allowed to touch my medications, one to prepare my meals and baths. Now, that's not to say I couldn't find one person to manage all that, like my Mexican caregiver does now, but in Canada, that would be completely illegal. Great, but illegal. Now, again, I only receive about $3,000 Canadian a month. Plus to that, my mother adds another $2,000. So I make about $5,000 a month. Right now, my mother says that $24,000 a year is a lot to pay a caregiver. Whereas my caregiver says over $100,000 a year wouldn't cover the cost for caregivers doing all of that up in Toronto. So it's all a mess, and I'm trying to find an honest-to-goodness cost that would be reasonable, that everyone involved could trust and maybe calm this debate. So that's my situation and dilemma. My 7 months away from Canada is up the 1st of May, and the many medications I take will run out then too. When in Canada, I live with my 85-year-old mother and am a resident. I don't know or understand what to do concerning my legal status. I don't know where even to start. I think my benefits, but not my pension, require me to have provincial health care. I would have to purchase my pills in Mexico with no reimbursement from Canada if I became a permanent resident there. Because again, I'd be cut off the Canadian national health care system. And here's another piece of random information. My pension consists of the Canadian pension, then Canadian Bell makes up the difference. That would be my $3,000 a month. I've heard if you're a non-resident of Canada, they take a 25% withholding tax and no deductions accepted. So there it is, Johnny. I'm looking for some answers and maybe some help. Okay, Dave, I'm going to tell you some things you're not going to like to hear at all. And I'm going to tell you some very good things, too. Let's start with the good. Dave, you're bringing in around $5,000 a month. What's that, $4,500 U.S.? In Latin America, you are a rich man. You know what that means down here in Latin America? And I'm talking about the Latin America that's off the gringo tourist trail, not Mexico. Dave, on that kind of money, you're living like a king. It's just that I guess you don't know how. The fact is, Dave, in Mexico, where there's over 1.5 million gringos living there on temporary or permanent residencies right now, you pretty much lost your gringo advantage. Now, from the gist of your email, I understand it sounds like your mother is saying you're paying about $24,000 a year to your caregiver to pretty much take care of you and manage your life, correct? Well, you know what, Dave? If you were in any other big city in Latin America, let's put you in the Altiplano where it's really comfortable. Let's say you're in Chela, Guatemala, or Guatemala City, or Antigua, Guatemala, or Copan, Honduras, or the Ruta del Flores in El Salvador, or 100 other such places in South America, but let's not talk about South America now because, well, that means to travel there. Many more uncomfortable hours in the airplane and much more money for the flight. In fact, you'll generally pay twice as much to go to South America as you will to Central America. So anyway, let's get back to that business about paying a caregiver $24,000 a year, which is what I assume you're paying her right now. Well, Dave, it might be true that paying $24,000 a year to a caregiver up in Canada is ridiculously cheap and wishful thinking unless that person is an illegal. However, in other parts of the world, specifically Latin America, any day of the week you could look into the big Latin newspaper want ads and find registered nurses are being paid around $400 to $500 a month to work in first world style big private hospitals in Latin America. Now I'm talking off the gringo tourist trail, of course. Which, if I were you, would be where I'd immediately want to relocate. Now, you say your caregiver is irreplaceable and it's not hyperbole. I beg to differ. You say she's a trained healthcare worker, driver, cook, secretary, medication dispenser, on and on. Well, guess what? That's the job description of every Latin American nurse, whether she's a nurse's aide or an RN or even an operating room surgical nurse. So bottom line, if you're in Mexico and paying your caregiver $24,000 a year, I don't care if she spends half the year up in Canada. You're overpaying her by 4 or 5 times. However, up in Canada, it's a completely different story. And she's right, you probably would have to pay around $100,000 a year or more to get that kind of service because you'd have to have 2 or 3 nurses on shifts. However, down here in Latin America, you just have live-in nurses. So the house or apartment you rent would have to have a couple extra bedrooms. And what would that cost you? Well, off the gringo tourist trail in a really nice section of town, maybe $300-$400 a month. And that's in a guarded, gated subdivision, too. And if I was you, how I'd do it is I'd situate myself a couple of blocks from one of the big first world hospitals, have 1, maybe 2 live-in nurses, which would cost you maybe $10,000 a year. And remember, they'll be your full-time nurse, bathe you, give you your meds, etc. Also cook and drive and clean and do your shopping for you. And another suggestion, forget about the Canadian national healthcare system. You can get all your generic meds down here and most proprietary ones, too. And what you can't get, you can order direct from those cut-rate internet pharmacies located in England, Canada, and elsewhere, where the meds are really, really cheap. But what about those oddball, one-of-a-kind meds that are very costly? Aha, did you know that down here in Latin America, you could get any number of Cadillac insurance plans that cover practically everything, including medications? And I'm guessing you'll pay no more than $100 to $120 a month for absolute full coverage. But wait a minute, you say, they won't take me on with all my pre-existing conditions. Wrong. Insurance plans down here are in their infancy. In fact, less than 2% of the Latin American population pays into a private insurance plan. And because these plans are just starting to come on board, they'll take anyone. And after 6 months or a year, almost all plans will drop the pre-existing conditions clause. How about that? So you get a house or apartment a couple of blocks from a big first world hospital, and that'll set you back $300 or $400 a month. You get on that insurance plan, that'll cost you $100 to maybe at the most $150 a month. And believe it or not, most plans will let you get on up till 64 years old, and some through age 70. Again, have one live-in nurse or two on rotation. Figure on the high end, $500 a month for one and $1,000 a month for two. And remember, down here anyway, if you have a live-in nurse or live-in housekeeper, you're giving that person room and board too, so you can pay them less. In fact, they expect that. They understand it. In fact, I know a gringo who's in a wheelchair, old guy around 81 years old now. He's got a full-time live-in RN, and he pays her a whopping $350 a month plus room and board. And of course, he told me on the side she expects to get in his will, but what the hell? When you're dead, you're dead. That's what he says anyway. By the way, he says she gets Sunday off and another lady comes in that day. Again, what about those special meds? Well, if you're on one of those Cadillac insurance plans, they'll cover most of that, sometimes all of it. But only after the pre-existing condition clause kicks in. So that means for the first year, you'll probably have to milk the Canadian National Health System for what it's worth. But after that, you just pack your bags, give them the finger and leave. That is, vote with your feet. After you've been on the insurance plan at least a year. But then what if you can't walk? What if you're in a wheelchair or non-ambulatory? How do you find these places off the gringo tourist trail? How do you find these houses and these hospitals and these medical plans? Well, I can tell you, forget about finding them on the internet and forget about these medical tourism outfits that are sprouting up all over the internet too. They know they've got you as a kind of a captive audience. And they know gringos who haven't had boots on the ground want to be reassured. They know rule number one. That's gringos want to have another gringo English speaker to deal with. And they put all their faith and trust in these people, and believe me, there are good people, but there are scammers out there too. And you don't always get those great deals you hear so much about. Not when you go through a gringo middleman who advertises on the internet. Okay, then, so how do you set this up? How do you do it? How do you get pointed in the right direction and find the right people? Well, here's a great first step. If it's impossible for you to make it down yourself, send one of your trusted friends or family members to one of my expat insider seminars. I've got one coming up in July. Note, I have a full four-hour-long healthcare segment. Then I take you to first world hospitals, show you first world insurance plans for expats, introduce you to doctors and specialists, etc. That's all part of the seminar because everyone's interested in healthcare. So that's a good first step. So then what if you can't make it to the seminar? Well, lucky for you, I've developed a kind of a network here in Central America, mostly around Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, but extends beyond that. It's a kind of an expat concierge service. It's a service that offers to help gringos and expats pretty much find whatever they're looking for, including housing, insurance, medical services, but not limited to any of that. For example, the concierge service can help you buy a car, get it registered, hook you up with phone service and utility service when you rent or buy a place, etc., etc. Actually, it's an idea that was developed by expert blogger John Galt. So whether you're down here or not, we have the people to look into those things for you. In fact, some of my expat insider seminar girls are college graduates with cars, and they can and do all that kind of legwork for green gringos and expats. So Dave, in your particular case, the ladies in the concierge service will be able to locate a very nice place for you to live in a nice neighborhood very close to a first world hospital. They'll find insurance plans, get quotes for you. They'll interview and or set up interviews for you with registered nurses. They'll visit nursing schools, put help wanted ads in the paper for you. Do all that legwork before you get down. And as to how long it will take and how much it will cost, well, of course, that depends completely on what you're looking for and the duties involved, but the ladies themselves will probably only run you $100 or so a day, and that'll include the car, too. And of course, if you're stuck up in the States or Canada, you'll be doing a lot of Skyping with the ladies. Of course, to work out the specific details of whatever your plan is. I just want you to know that those services are available, and the ladies and the service are approved by me. And of course, by my good friend John Galt, who was the brains behind this idea. So if and when you do come down to one of my expat insider seminars, after you head back home to Montreal or Cleveland and you formulate your plan and come back down, we've got those people ready and waiting to help you out in whatever you need. Oh, and by the way, the ladies are 100% bilingual too. But let's push on. Here's a letter from another pretty unhealthy Canadian snowbird that also goes back and forth from Canada to Latin America. It starts, I'm from Manitoba, Canada, and I still go back to Canada 5 months a year to keep my Canadian national health insurance. I have a heart condition, major allergies, GI issues, and of late, do not handle stress so very well and have anxiety issues. Because of my arthritis, the climate in Canada just does me in. It's not so much the cold, though that does a number on me, but it's the changes in the weather that kill. The fact is, because of the weather changes and cold, I lose my mobility very fast when I'm in Canada. I have a hard time picking things up and can't squeeze toothpaste tubes. Can't walk for more than 10 or 15 minutes. But I live here half the time in Zihuatanejo, Mexico. By the way, it's me, Johnny, again. I know that place rather well. Again, it's a small resort beach town, but it's on the tourist trail. Anyway, he says, when I'm there, I take no pain meds and do all the above and even swim 2Ks a day. In other words, I'm in remission when I'm in Mexico and in good weather. However, I always thought when I couldn't travel back and forth from Canada to Mexico, I could just stay in Zihuatanejo. Wrong. Yes, we'd still get our Canadian pensions and our teachers' pensions from Canada would continue to come, but we will not be able to get our meds from Canada anymore. So far, I see a lot of the meds I take are available here in Mexico, but some not available at all. However, to try to clarify residency things, we have met with a taxation lawyer and two tax accountants. What we learned shocked us and blew our plans out of the water. We own a condo here in Zihuatanejo. It's never generated any income because we live here when we're down here. However, if we were still residents up in Canada and sold it, we'd have to pay capital gains to Canada. If we become non-residents, that is, get permanent residency in Mexico, the Canadian government would not be able to collect that capital gains tax. However, I understand if we did become Canadian non-residents, the Canadian government would try to take the capital gains on whatever it was worth at the time. Well, that just sucks. And the clincher is for us that in Canada, there's a 25% withholding tax every year. Now, as Canadian residents, at least we can take deductions and pay a 25% based on our net income. However, if we're non-residents, we have no deductions at all, such as medicine, etc., and would pay this 25% based on our gross income. So basically, as it turns out, I have to trade my health and mobility in order to have sufficient income to live on in Canada. I'm not impressed. Too bad for me. Too bad for Manitoba, Canada also, because it will cost them much more in healthcare by staying in Canada for those 5 months than if I were to stay here in Zihuatanejo full time. That's for sure. Okay, let me jump in here and say, these guys too are missing the point. They're not getting good advice. Like I said before, you could get Cadillac insurance coverage for around $100 to $125 a month. And that includes your meds and everything else. And some of these insurance companies have worldwide coverage. So what's wrong with this picture? Who's not telling these guys that? Why do you think that is? That's because they're living in gringoized communities. And I'll bet none of them speak Spanish worth a damn either. That's what you get when you end up living in gringo communities. So there you have it. Both of these guys are basing their whole lives on the fact that they need the Canadian National Health System to get them their meds. Period. That's a totally ass-backwards way of looking at things. And by the way, in this last guy's letter, he says he owns a condo in Zihuatanejo, and he's worried about paying capital gains tax to Canada when he sells it. Well, there again, this guy got some really crap advice because obviously he doesn't have his condo in an SA corporation. Using an SA corporation, you know there are legal ways around all that stuff. Well, again, a lot of misinformation and bad advice. He goes on and says, the accountants told us that several people just end up staying in Mexico, but keep a physical address in Canada and hope they don't get caught. That way they get their national health care insurance. Very tempting, but I'm sure I would not do well physically in a jail cell, he says. Now here's the part that blows my mind. He says, regarding the Mexico national health care system, perhaps it's fine in other parts of Mexico, he says, but here in Zihuatanejo, you wouldn't want to bring your neighbor's canary there. Everything about the whole system's about 60 years behind Canada. They haven't got a CT scanner or an MRI, but the medicines are free, often inferior, but free. Now, when we came here, we thought that the national health care system in Mexico would be okay. But when my husband ended up with cancer, had surgery in Canada, came back down here, and had blood clots in his lung, then we had to make a run back to Canada. And we were almost not allowed on the plane because of his condition, which we had to lie about. And then we were allowed to fly. What a horrendous experience I wouldn't wish on anyone. Hence, a high level of stress and anxiety. Okay, again, so these people were very misinformed and had some crappy advice. I mean, what planet is that guy living on when he didn't know the national healthcare systems in Latin America completely suck? In fact, he said just now he went down thinking the national healthcare system was okay. Duh. The fact is, ever since I started this show, what's it now, 6 years ago? From day one, I told the world how absolutely useless, crappy, and medieval Latin American national health systems are. Yet this guy says, we thought the medical care would be okay. Well, it is. It's more than okay. It's first world, but you got to go to a first world style hospital or clinic. And it'll still be a quarter to a fifth as much as you pay for it up in the States. Why let the Canadian healthcare system or any government make your important life's decisions for you? If you're so worried about losing that Canadian residency and thus your so-called free medical health, why don't you just get one of those very cheap Cadillac insurance plans down here in Latin America and settle permanently? Get your permanent residency. So bottom line, for those of you who are not in the best of health and may even be quite handicapped, you have to start looking off the gringo tourist trail. That's the only way to live a first world life on a small pension or social security. That said, I mentioned my next Expat Insider Seminar is coming up in July 2016. That's 3 months away. And I promised I'd announce an early bird discount sign-up rate. And here's the deal. If you sign up any time before May 1st, you'll get the early bird rate, which is $500 off the single sign-up rate and $1,000 off the two-person double occupancy rate. So you've got about a month to get in on the early bird discounts. So check out the seminar information and sign-up page by going to www.thenewexpat.com. And on top of the page, you'll see Johnny's 2016 July Seminar. Click on that link and it'll take you right there. Or send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com, and I'll send you a direct link that'll take you to the information and sign-up page. And by the way, during my last seminar in January, the famous John Galt from thenewexpat.com website took a group of our seminar attendees on two spectacular side trip guided tours, a 4-day pre-seminar trip and a 4-day post-seminar trip. Now, these occurred immediately before and immediately after my main seminar. And his two events received such amazing reviews that John Galt again has promised to do a repeat performance this time, but only for a small group of our seminar attendees. That said, I urge all you prospective seminar attendees to add a few extra days onto your trip and really try to make one, if not both, of John Galt's side trip events. So again, the pre-seminar side trip is 4 days before the seminar starts, and immediately after that trip, you go to the seminar. Then there's the post-seminar trip, which starts immediately after the seminar for 4 days running. So to check out the details on John Galt's side trips, just go to www.thenewexpat.com. And you'll see the link on the main page. That said, don't forget to check out my YouTube channel to see the photos that go along with the audio. Do subscribe. It's free.
South of the border.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want me to help you sort out your own Latin American plans, schedule a one-on-one consult with me. Just send an email and let me know at theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.